A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's leaving for the States, and he's staring at an empty suitcase with the clock ticking. He's not asking for theory this time, not asking for app recommendations or reusable template design. He wants the actual list. Walk through it top to bottom, from the stuff you absolutely can't forget down to the nice-to-haves, at a pace where someone can follow along and check things off as we go. Section by section, no detours except to introduce the next category. So grab your suitcase. Let's start at the top.
And this format works because packing is one of those things where the abstract advice, pack light, bring layers, it all evaporates the moment you're standing in your bedroom at 11 p.m. the night before a flight. What you actually need is someone saying, here's the next thing, do you have it, yes or no, move on.
The anxiety removal is the whole value. You're not going to forget your passport. What you're going to do is spend 3 days before the trip with a low-grade hum of dread that you've forgotten something you can't name. The list kills the hum.
Right. And we're organizing this from non-negotiable to optional, so if you have to stop halfway through, you've still covered the things that would genuinely ruin your trip if you left them behind. Medications, documents, money, done. Everything after that's quality of life.
One thing to flag before we dive in. The USA context matters here. It's a big country with wildly different climates depending on where you're going and when. Power outlets are type A and B, 120 volts, so most international travelers need an adapter. And you want travel insurance with medical coverage, because if you get sick or hurt without it, the bill will make you physically ill in a whole new way.
I've seen those bills. Retired pediatrician, but I remember colleagues in the U.S. healthcare system describing what an uninsured ER visit looks like for a foreign visitor. It isn't a number you want to see on paper. So insurance isn't optional, it's in the essentials pile, and we'll get there.
All right. Section 1. Medications and first aid. This is the top of the list for a reason. If you arrive and realize you left your blood pressure medication on the bathroom counter, there's no quick fix. You can't just pop into a U.S. pharmacy and get a refill on a foreign prescription.
Prescription medications, bring them in their original bottles with the pharmacy label intact. That label is your proof that these are prescribed to you, which matters at customs. Also bring a copy of the actual prescription, either a paper printout or a photo on your phone. If you lose your meds, that prescription copy is what lets a U.S. doctor write you a new one without starting from scratch.
And pack all of this in your carry-on. Never check medications. Checked bags go missing. Get delayed. Get routed to Cleveland while you're in Seattle. The meds stay with you.
Over-the-counter basics. You can buy all of this in the U.S., but you don't want to be hunting for a pharmacy at midnight when a headache hits or the airplane food does what airplane food does. Bring a small supply. Pain reliever, whatever you normally take. An antihistamine, even if you don't have allergies, because new environments, new pollens, you never know. And something for digestion. An antidiarrheal, an antacid. Traveler's stomach doesn't care about your itinerary.
A small first aid kit. Band-aids, antiseptic wipes, maybe a couple of blister pads if you're going to be walking a lot. Nothing elaborate. Just the stuff you'd be annoyed to need and not have at 10 p.m. in an unfamiliar city.
That's the whole section. Meds, OTC basics, first aid. Pause here if you're following along and physically check these off. We'll wait.
Section 2. Documents and money. This is the other category where a mistake doesn't just inconvenience you. It ends the trip before it starts.
Passport. Check the expiration date right now. The U.S. requires your passport to be valid for at least 6 months beyond your planned departure date. If it expires in 4 months, you're not getting on the plane. This catches people constantly.
Visa or ESTA. Depends where you're coming from. ESTA for the Visa Waiver Program countries, which is most of Europe, Australia, Japan, South Korea, a bunch of others. Apply online, costs about $21, valid for 2 years. Do it at least 72 hours before you fly. If you need a full visa, that's a longer process, and you should have started months ago. Either way, confirm your status before you leave for the airport.
Travel insurance details. Print a copy of your policy, put the emergency contact number in your phone, and leave a copy with someone back home. If you need to use it, you don't want to be digging through your email while sitting in an emergency room.
Credit and debit cards. Notify your bank you're traveling. Nothing like landing at JFK and having your card frozen, because the fraud detection algorithm saw a coffee purchase in New York and panicked. Bring at least two cards from different banks if you can, so one getting blocked doesn't strand you.
Some US dollar cash. Not a lot. A couple hundred dollars, mostly in small bills. You'll use it for tips, for the one coffee shop that's cash only, for the airport luggage cart that still takes coins for some reason. Get it from your bank before you leave. Airport exchange rates are terrible.
Photocopies or digital backups of everything. Passport, visa, insurance, cards, driver's license. Store them in a cloud folder you can access from anywhere, and also email them to yourself. If your wallet and your passport both vanish, you'll still have the information you need to get replacements.
And keep all the physical documents in your carry-on. I know I said that about meds, but it applies here too. Your passport should never be in a checked bag. I don't know why people do this. You need it to get through security, to board the plane, to clear customs. Why would it be in the cargo hold?
You'd be surprised how many people check their passport. Or maybe you wouldn't. Hilbert's gonna have things to say about checked bags later, I suspect.
Section 3. Electronics. This is where weight starts creeping into your bag, so be intentional.
Universal Travel Adapter. U.S. outlets are type A and B, two flat parallel prongs, sometimes with a round grounding pin. Voltage is 120. If you're coming from Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, your plugs don't fit, and your devices might not handle the voltage without a converter. Check your chargers. Most modern phone and laptop chargers are dual voltage, 100 to 240 volts, which means you just need the adapter, not a voltage converter. But check.
Chargers for everything. Phone, laptop, tablet, e-reader, electric toothbrush, whatever you're bringing. Gather them all in one place before you pack. The number of people who arrive with their laptop and no charger because they left it plugged into the wall at home isn't small.
Power bank. A good one. At least 10,000 milliamp hours. You're going to be using your phone for maps, for tickets, for translations, for everything. And you won't always be near an outlet. Charge the power bank before you leave.
Phone with offline maps downloaded. Google Maps lets you download entire city areas for offline use. Do this before you go. Even if you're planning to get a US SIM or use roaming, there will be moments with no signal, and that's when you need the map most.
A spare charging cable never hurts. Cables fail at the worst possible moments, and hotel front desks rarely have the one you need.
Section 4. Clothing. This is where most people overpack. The goal isn't to prepare for every possible scenario. The goal is to bring things you'll actually wear.
Check the weather for your specific destinations and dates. Not the US in general. Seattle in November isn't Phoenix in November. Pack for where you're actually going.
Layers are your friend. A light jacket or fleece, a couple of sweaters or hoodies, t-shirts, one or two long-sleeve shirts. You can combine these for different temperatures, and they're easier to pack than one giant coat for every situation.
Comfortable walking shoes. This isn't optional. You walk more than you think, and blisters on day two will ruin the rest of the trip. Bring shoes you've already broken in. New shoes on a trip are a gamble you don't need to take.
At least one nice outfit. A dress, a button-down shirt, something you'd wear to a decent restaurant or a show. Even if you're planning a casual trip, plans change, and I have nothing to wear to this is a bad feeling.
Roll your clothes instead of folding them. Save space, reduces wrinkles. Packing cubes help too if you're into that, but the rolling is the real move.
Underwear and socks. Bring more than you think you need. These take up almost no space, and having fresh socks on a long travel day is a small joy you shouldn't deny yourself.
A swimsuit. Even if you're not planning to swim, hotel pools exist, hot tubs exist, and you'll be annoyed if you can't use them.
Section 5. Toiletries. This is where TSA rules matter if you're flying. The 3/4-ounce rule, which is actually 100 milliliters per container, applies to liquids and carry-on luggage. All your liquids, gels, and aerosols have to fit in a single quart-sized clear bag.
Travel-sized everything. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, deodorant, moisturizer, sunscreen. You can buy full-size versions when you arrive if you're staying a while, but travel sizes get you through the first few days and the flight.
Actually, let me pause on that. Sunscreen in the US isn't the same as sunscreen in Europe or Asia. US FDA regulations haven't approved many of the newer UV filters that are standard elsewhere. If you're particular about your sunscreen, bring enough from home. The US stuff is effective, but the texture and the white cast can be different.
Razor, toothbrush, floss, nail clippers, tweezers. The basics. A small microfiber towel if you're staying in hostels or budget accommodations. Most hotels provide towels, but not all.
Any personal hygiene items that are specific to you. Contact lens solution, menstrual products that one face wash your skin tolerates. Don't assume you'll find your exact brand.
And again, liquids in the carry-on, in the court bag, pulled out at security. If you're checking a bag, full-size liquids can go in there, but keep your toothbrush and a few essentials in your carry-on for the flight.
That's the essentials done. Meds, documents, money, electronics, clothing, toiletries. If you've checked all of that off, you're functionally prepared. Everything from here on is comfort, convenience, and personal preference.
Section 6. Comfort and convenience for the journey itself. The flight, the train, the long drive. These items make the difference between arriving refreshed and arriving like you've been through something.
Neck pillow. The inflatable kind packs down to nothing. The memory foam kind is more comfortable but takes up space. Pick your trade-off. But a neck pillow is the difference between sleeping and doing that horrible head bob thing for 8 hours.
Eye mask and earplugs, or noise-canceling headphones if you have them. Airplanes are bright and loud by design, apparently, and the person by the window will open the shade at the exact moment you finally drift off.
Reusable water bottle. Empty it before security. Fill it up at a water fountain on the other side. Staying hydrated on a long flight makes a real difference, and the little cups of water the flight attendants bring around are never enough.
Snacks. Airport food is expensive, and airplane food is airplane food. Bring something you actually want to eat. Granola bars, nuts, dried fruit, whatever travels well and won't get crushed.
A change of clothes in your carry-on. This is the one I feel most strongly about. If your checked bag goes missing, which happens, you want clean underwear and a fresh shirt waiting for you at the hotel. I've heard too many stories.
Section 7. Optional tech. This is where you make decisions based on what kind of trip you're taking.
Laptop or tablet. If you're working, obviously bring it. If you're not, think hard about whether you need it. A phone does most of what a tablet does, and a laptop is heavy. I bring mine because I write, but I never judge someone who leaves it behind.
A camera, if you're into photography and your phone isn't enough for what you want to capture. But for most people, a modern phone camera is good. Don't bring a separate camera unless you know why you're bringing it.
Portable Wi-Fi hotspot or eSIM. US carriers have extensive coverage, so you can buy a prepaid SIM when you land and be fine in most places. But if you're going to national parks or rural areas, a hotspot that runs on multiple networks can give you better coverage. eSIMs are also great. You can set them up before you leave and have data the moment you land.
A power strip or multi-port USB charger. Hotel rooms never have enough outlets, and the ones they do have are always behind the bed or under a desk. A small power strip with a short cord turns one outlet into four and solves the problem permanently.
Section 8. Personal preference items. This is the you do you section. Nobody needs these, but you might want them.
A travel umbrella. Small, lightweight, fits in a day pack. The US has rain. You'll encounter it. A cheap umbrella weighs nothing and saves you from showing up to a meeting or a museum looking like a drowned animal.
A small day pack or foldable tote bag. Something you can carry during the day for water, snacks, souvenirs, a jacket. It doesn't need to be fancy. A packable backpack that folds into its own pocket is ideal.
A luggage scale. The little handheld kind. Overweight bag fees are expensive and avoidable. Weigh your bag before you leave for the airport, not at the check-in counter with a line of people behind you.
A pen. I'm serious, you need a pen on every international flight for customs forms and nobody ever has one. Bring a pen.
Section 9. The leave behind list. This is just as important as what you pack, because overpacking makes everything harder. Heavy bags, checked bag fees, less room to bring things back.
Don't pack full-size toiletries. You can buy shampoo, body wash, sunscreen, bug spray, all of it at any drugstore in the US for less than the checked bag fee would cost you. Bring enough for the journey and the first day, buy the rest there.
Don't pack bulky items you can get cheaply on arrival. Beach towels, hair dryers, umbrellas if you forgot one. Every hotel room in America has a hairdryer. You don't need to bring one.
Don't bring valuables that attract attention. Expensive jewelry, watches, you'd be devastated to lose. If it's irreplaceable or would ruin your trip to lose it, leave it at home.
Don't pack books. I know, but books are heavy. Bring an e-reader or use your phone. One paperback for the flight is fine. Five is not.
Final check before you go. Lay everything out on your bed. Look at it all at once. Ask yourself if you really need each item. Then pack it, weigh the bag, and double-check that all your documents are in your carry-on, not your checked luggage.
One last thing on adaptability. This checklist is a starting point. If you're hiking in national parks, you need boots, a day pack, and layers you can strip off. If you're doing business meetings in Chicago, you need more nice clothes and fewer trail snacks. Adjust based on your actual itinerary. The list is the skeleton. You add the muscle.
And if you're traveling with someone else, share your list. Externalize the cognitive load. My wife and I used to do this. She'd pack the toiletries, I'd handle the electronics, and we'd check each other's sections before we left. Cuts the mental burden in half.
That's the full walkthrough. Essentials to optional, with a hard stop at the leave behind pile. If you followed along, you should be looking at a packed bag and feeling about 80% less dread than when we started.
All right. Hilbert's been quiet for a while, which usually means he's got something.
I worked baggage handling at JFK for a summer. 93, maybe 94.
Of course you did.
You see everything in that job. Everything people put in a suitcase. And I'll tell you, the change of clothes in the carry-on, that's not a suggestion. I watched bags go down the belt, and some of them, you just knew they weren't making the connection. The tags torn, the barcode smudged, the belt jams and dumps three bags onto the tarmac. It happens more than the airlines admit.
How often are we talking?
Often enough that I never check a bag. Haven't since 94. But if you're going to check one, your meds and a change of clothes stay with you. I watched a woman cry at the baggage office because her bag went to Denver and she was in New York, and everything she needed for a wedding the next day was in that bag. Dress, shoes, makeup, the whole thing. She got the bag back on Tuesday. Wedding was Saturday.
Chuh, that's grim.
It's aviation. Also, don't pack cast iron pans.
I'm sorry, what?
Man packed a full set of cast iron skillets. Checked bag. Three of them, nested together with dish towels in between. The bag weighed something like 70 pounds. We knew because it nearly took my back out lifting it.
Cast iron pans. To the United States of America. The country that invented the Lodge skillet.
He said he'd seasoned them himself over 12 years and he wasn't starting over. I respected it, honestly. Commitment to home cooking. But his bag fee must have been more than buying new ones.
Did the pans survive the flight?
Oh, they were fine. Cast iron's indestructible. The suitcase looked like it had been in a fight, but the pans were perfect. He probably still uses them.
That's the opposite of every packing principle we just laid out, and yet I can't fully dismiss it. 12 years of seasoning.
You don't walk away from a pan you've been seasoning for 12 years. I don't cook much anymore, but I understand the principle.
Hilbert, this is useful. The carry-on rule, I mean.
It's the same rule. If you can't replace it at a Walmart in 20 minutes, it stays with you in the cabin. Meds, documents, your grandmother's ring, and apparently your 12-year skillet. Everything else, the airline can lose and you'll survive.
I'm now imagining a carry-on bag with a cast iron skillet handle sticking out of it, and TSA trying to figure out what to do.
They'd confiscate it as a bludgeon. Those things are heavy.
The misconception. Here's the one that gets people. You can buy anything in the US, so just pack minimally. And yes, you can buy most things. But your prescription medications, your passport, your specific medical devices, your glasses, your insurance paperwork, those aren't replaceable on short notice. The essentials section isn't minimalism, it's triage. Pack the irreplaceable stuff first, and if you have room left over, that's when the nice-to-haves earn their spot.
And the second misconception. People think US hotels provide adapters. They don't. Some high-end business hotels might have a loaner at the front desk, but most won't. Bring your own adapter. It's a $10 item that saves you from not being able to charge your phone on night one.
One open question before we wrap. What's the one thing you always forget? For me, it's a pin. Every single time, we'd love to hear from listeners. What's your blind spot? Maybe we'll do a follow-up on packing fails, because Hilbert's cast iron pan story can't be the only one out there.
Safe travels, and may your bags arrive with you.
thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop, who has apparently lifted more cast iron than any of us realized.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com, and if you've got a packing disaster story, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.